Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider today, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." Still another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." Religious people want a heaven populated only by holy people. And of course that makes sense, because if sinners could go to heaven, they'd bring their sin into heaven with them, and then it wouldn't be heaven anymore. So obviously God must exclude sinners from heaven. And if God must exclude sinners from heaven, well, obviously, he must exclude them from his church here below. That's the way the Pharisees thought, but they thought the wrong way. They thought according to the religion of human reason, which is blinded by sin. And the nature of the blindness is that it doesn't see sin for what it is. The Pharisees could only see the sin in others. They couldn't see their own sin. They had an exaggerated opinion of themselves. They were devout, successful, prominent. They had status. They were scandalized by the way Jesus treated their inferiors. They assumed that since they were fawned over by the masses of people less fortunate than themselves, Jesus would acknowledge their status as well. But Jesus did not. Instead, Jesus taught them that they must become the equals of the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. They must acknowledge their material and social and political status as worthless in comparison with eating and drinking in fellowship with God. They must reject every claim to God that is not by God's grace and God's grace alone. They must, in a way, become poor, maimed, lame, and blind. They must despair of themselves. They must renounce everything good that they did or had in which they had placed their trust and throw themselves entirely on the mercy of a loving God. Jesus pictures this by means of a parable. The man who gave the great supper is God the Father, who sent his Son into the world to be the Savior of sinners. Those who were invited and yet refused to come were the Pharisees and other religious and political leaders of Israel, who refused to acknowledge their sins and repent. They made excuses. They had more important things to do than to listen to the gospel. They regarded commerce, agriculture, and marriage as more important than the divine service offered by Jesus. The servant in the story is Jesus. He is the suffering servant who, by bearing the sin of the world, served as the one single obedient representative of all humanity. He offered his service of obedience to the Father, and thereby earned the authority to forgive sins here on earth. He offers the forgiveness of sins and salvation that he purchased. He offers it freely to sinners in need. The poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind are the dispossessed of Israel, the lowly sinners with nothing to offer God but their own brokenness, failure, and sin. They do not fill up the banquet hall. There is more room. Those out in the highways and hedges are the Gentiles, the unclean, those who were not God's people, who were outside of grace and who were dying in blindness. They were compelled to come in. They knew they were undeserving, and so they would not come. They needed the compelling power of the gospel to persuade them of God's utter sincerity in providing them with such rich treasures. The original audience to hear Jesus' parable consisted of self-righteous and self-satisfied Pharisees who not only despised those less fortunate than themselves, but also despised the gracious teaching that came from Jesus. The reason folks despise grace is because they don't see their own need for it. They don't want to be lumped together with life's losers. They want their status determined by what they do, by what they own, by what they produce. They think that the affairs of this life come before the treasures of heaven. They don't have the time to listen to the heavenly doctrine of Jesus, or they will make time when they're good and ready. But they don't get to choose when they're ready. The banquet is scheduled, the food is prepared, everything is ready, the invitation goes forth. You either go into the feast or you remain outside forever. There is no alternative. There is no third option. Those who don't have the time to eat and to drink the words of life that Jesus speaks will find themselves permanently locked outside the gates of God's kingdom. As Jesus said, "For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." What is more important to you, your job, your family, or attending the divine services on Sunday mornings? What is a good reason to skip church? Seeing the piece of ground we've bought, testing out the oxen, tending to domestic matters? The evangelical Lutherans, which is what we call ourselves, are evangelical, as our name says. That is, we are committed to the evangel, the gospel, both as to its substance and its emphasis. We teach the good news, the gospel, of God's free forgiveness of sinners for Christ's sake. Now, this isn't received by good deeds, but through faith alone. We also insist that this gospel must always be the motivation and power of all good that we do. The reason we go to church is not primarily out of obedience to God's law, but out of our need for God's gospel. But when we fail to see that need, the law of God reminds us. This parable of Jesus reminds us, if we consider business and family affairs as more important than eating and drinking at the table of the Lord, we are tempting God to remove from us that blessed table. And when it is gone, we will have nothing any better for our souls to eat and to drink than the tasteless gruel of shallow humanism or impotent moralism. Despising the riches of God's grace and his generosity and giving it to us is a dangerous thing. God will not be mocked, and his grace will not be despised. When we have better things to do than to go to church to receive the gospel and sacraments by which we are saved, we are choosing a life that leads nowhere. Choose life. So goes the pro-life slogan in opposition to abortion on demand. Left to our own, however, we always end up choosing death. We choose hatred over love, and as St. John reminds us, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We choose violence, hatred, greed, lust, quarreling, pride, and every other vice in the book. We choose the wrong things. And even when we get religious, we choose the wrong things. We turn God's grace into law. But Christ's invitation is not law. He says, come. That's not a command, it's an offer. It's not a demand, it's a gift. It's an invitation. Come. God wants you. He is ready for the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. He is ready for those who have spent their lives far away from Him in the highways and byways of life. He invites everyone. As a shepherd seeks for the lost sheep, as a woman gets down on her knees to look for a lost coin, as a father waits for the lost son to come home again, so God is always seeking, calling, and inviting. Come. All things are now ready. Come. You who want meaning for life, come. You who hunger and thirst for righteousness, come. You who stumble under the burden of sin and guilt, come. You who are anxious and fearful, come. You who mourn, come. You who are looking for peace and fulfillment, come. No one goes away hungry. No one who comes is excluded. No sin can keep you out, because the food of this supper is the food of forgiveness and life. Don't be afraid you won't be accepted, for the beloved of the Father, full of grace and truth, invites you. Don't think you have sinned too often or too severely, because God has buried your sins in Joseph's tomb from which Christ arose. Many people think that Christianity is a tyrannical religion. They think it's nothing but a series of commandments. Do this, don't do that. But that's not true. Our Christian faith is not centered on what you and I must do. It is centered on what Christ has done and freely gives. Those who receive, who eat and drink of this treasure, do not focus so much on what they should be doing, but they do what they should do out of love for the one who invited them into the grace of the Father. Look at those he invites to his gracious feast. He invites those who've spent their strength in breaking the law, those who are burdened with their sins, those who are so filled with shame that they cannot lift up their heads, and those who cannot offer God anything at all. And why does he call them? Not to demand an accounting, nor to stand in judgment, but to relieve them of their pain and to take away their heavy burdens. Jesus says, come. He does not do so standing on the top rung of a long, high ladder in heaven, signaling us to start climbing. No, he climbed down Jacob's ladder and said, for us men, and for us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He came to be born in a stable. He came to die on a cross. This is how he prepared the banquet of salvation to which he invites us all to partake. There's a time for checking out the business and taking care of the family, but doing those important things will not bring us to God. When God feeds us in his divine service, we are then fit to work that field, drive those oxen, and live a life of marital faithfulness. When we take into ourselves by faith the flesh and blood of the Son of Man, and eat and drink with our mouths his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, God calls us to live in whatever godly occupation he has placed us, and he calls us to live holy lives. But those who won't be fed by God cannot live holy lives. They have no calling from God, no vocation at all, but only vain labor under the sun until they die and are buried. Come, Jesus invites us. Come, for all things are now ready. We object, I am not worthy to come. Jesus replies, I give you my worthiness. We object, my clothes aren't suitable. Jesus replies, I will clothe you by your baptism in white robes of righteousness. Come as you are. Come with your sins and weaknesses, failures and problems of every description. Come to the only one who can forgive you and heal you. Come to the only one who can make you worthy. It is the Holy Spirit Himself who invites you, who compels you by a love greater than the power of your sin. Amen. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. We'd like to invite you to attend the services of our parish next Sunday. On the 27th of June, we will have one service and one only at Polk County Park at 10:30, and you're all invited to come and join us for the service and also to stay afterwards for a picnic. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.